There we go. Now we are recording a clean, metronomeless version of this.
It's all coming together. It's the
Yeah. What a nostalgic mistake.
mistakes are just little snippets of times bygone. It's like old sandwiches you wish you could reheat, but
I feel like you can make a really futuristic mistake, though. I feel like you can make a mistake that's really forward-thinking and that really puts you into a whole new era of mistake-making. They don't all have to be about being trapped in the past. Sometimes you can make a really radically new mistake that informs all the mistakes you'll make in subsequent eras of mistake-making.
that's very forward of you. That's I'm sure that's how Google started. Like someone was trying to look up something on AltaVista and was like,
Shoot.
these results are too specific.
I like to think that they were maybe a series of complicated voyeurs and hoarders who were like, I need all available information and to look into people's houses. So, and that was more of a like a interpersonal mistake that they successfully programmed. So it informed every subsequent mistake that Google made as a corporation with people's privacy, for instance.
Yeah. And I'll Google
Although
screw ups. They love it though.
I mostly use Google to revisit previous mistakes that I've made. I mostly use it to just look back at previous errors and eras of errors. So.
I use it mostly for
Stealing manga?
yeah, stealing. I just use Google to steal things.
Would you describe stealing as a like a retrospective mistake for you, a backward-looking mistake or a forward-looking mistake? Because obviously it's something you've done in the past with stealing manga, for instance. But also it gives you a new thing that you can then consume that media. So do you feel like that's a backwards-looking or a forwards-looking mistake?
I think it's definitely forwards, but I'm thinking I might transfer it into a more tactile, real-world environment if I don't find a job soon.
That's valid. That's super valid. Try not to go to forever jail.
Forever jail, I would be in like 3 to 5. I don't know what larceny is these days. I wouldn't be stealing anything big. I'd be like those kids in Aladdin who like stole apples and stuff. I'm not
Yeah.
cute enough for it to be like, ah, you rascal, but I feel like
I don't know. You're tall, but that doesn't mean you can't pass for a small, adorable child. Get a set of like knee breeches. Try to persuade them that it's like Colonial Williamsburg, right? Where they have all of the people who are like variously recreating historical roles. You could be like a young, charming child. That's the point. Yeah, you could try to persuade them you're a child actor who's acting out for the benefit of tourists, the role of someone stealing apples.
this is what theft looked like back in those days. Give me your wallet.
Yeah, exactly.
That's worth a shot. And I have to do all my crimes on my knees because I'm too tall to be.
You are very tall. Maybe. I don't know. I was trying to figure out a way you could then spin that into some sort of lawsuit. If they're like, you're too tall to be a child thief, I feel like that's discriminatory. But I don't think that's gonna work. That scheme may be a failure.
Damn. I feel like I'm gonna get a defamation suit some way. Like, there's sometimes cars drive very aggressively out here, and I'm waiting for one of them to, like, clip me. But I'm only gonna get clipped by, like, this year model cars if I can. And then I'll
Yeah.
be like, hey, you gotta pay for my hospital bills and also enough so I can purchase Oyasumi Poon Poon. Specifically.
I mean, if you're gonna strategize what cars hit you, right? And I think you should, I think that's smart. You should also fold in maybe antique cars. Because if someone has, like, this year's model, absolutely. But if someone has, like, an antique sports car, someone who has a whole lot of money and also a second car that they use to actually drive places. So.
That's smart. That's a good idea.
I am just thinking of your best getting hit by a car interests.
Thank you.
That way, maybe you could buy all the volumes of Oyasumi Poon Poon.
That's
Because
strange.
1 year model, like a recent car, probably one volume, couple volumes, maybe. But that's a long ass comic.
It's stupidly long. It's worth. I like that it's that long, but it's definitely coming of age stories. Biggest weakness is that they're so goddamn long.
Be fair, nobody really comes of age anymore. We all just sort of paddle in prolonged post-adolescence indefinitely. So, gotta include all that.
That's true. So a true coming of age book would be never ending.
Yeah, it would go forever. Literally forever.
It's Archie.
Yeah, that's Archie is actually a metaphor for the postmodern condition. Riverdale is really trying to tell us that the only way to access adulthood as financial independence in our society is to marry rich. That's the moral of Riverdale. So it's saying either you can self-actualize and be independent and never be able to afford to move out of your parents' house, so follow your heart, live with Betty, die
Make
broke.
bad costumes together.
Yeah, exactly. Or surrender a little of your agency. Marry Veronica, who is way hotter, first of all, and second of all, has a lot of money and is bossy. So surrender your agency to the ruling class. Achieve something like independence. But really, it's not independence because you've sold out to the ruling class. Bam,
Whoops.
Riverdale dissected.
That's this deceptively smart and dark comic.
Yeah, it's that's why they're making that hour-long fucking drama about it.
No, they're not.
Oh, you think I jest,
Yeah,
sir? Yeah, they're
I
doing an
think so.
hour-long drama. It's like I'm not sure if that's actually if it's like Game of Thrones episode length, but they are doing I am looking up what network it is now. Yeah, it's gonna be on CW and it's gonna be a drama. Like an ongoing, not like an hour-long made-for-TV movie drama. It looks like it's just gonna happen for a while.
This is the Garfield movies all over again.
You know, I never actually saw the Garfield movies, so I don't know if that you're saying that means it's gonna be really good. Maybe the Garfield movies are hidden cinematic masterpieces, I wouldn't know.
You like 2 hours of a cat farting and eating lasagna, then yeah, I think you might enjoy it.
I mean, that sounds pretty similar to hanging out with Nasty here.
You feed cat lasagna?
No, he steals my dinners. Would eat a lasagna. That's a fact about Maze T. And recently he's decided it's really endearing. I'm just gonna talk about Maze T, the cat, for a minute here. Recently
Facts straight. folks on Maze Tea.
Yeah, it's important that people know that he thinks it's really endearing to just curl up in my lap and then start farting. Just like, he didn't used to do that. That's recent in the last month or two. That he's like, it's a really cool hobby for me to have, is just curl up, get real comfortable, look lovingly up at you, and start farting disgustingly. So he gets grosser every minute of every day, but I love him so much.
He's adopting blue humor. He's finally expanding the repertoire, it seems.
Yeah, he decided that Dadaist screaming wasn't cutting it anymore, so he had to move into fart jokes.
Isn't that the path of every great artist?
Dadaist screaming fart. Well, that kind of mirrors early development of children, right? Incomprehensible screaming out of raw need. Fart jokes. So presumably next he's going to learn a fucking language and we're going to move on with our lives.
I hope Maze speaks English.
That'd be the most useful for me. my French is pretty lapsed. Never really learned anything else. So, you better learn English. I guess I have been meaning to learn other things, like languages that people actually use, rather than languages that the French use.
Klingon, Elfish.
I think the only people who use Elvish are all of my ex-boyfriends, and I don't really want to talk to any of them, so Klingon it is.
Oh, jeez. You're every single one of them spoke Elvish?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, at least one of them was extremely into speaking Elvish, right? Like, it was kind of a problem.
Nerds.
You know, terrible people, every single one of them.
I was surrounded by a bunch of nerds last weekend at the Mock Mocha Fest.
Oh shit, tell me all about that. Both your nerd experience and then also Mocha.
I got a satchel.
Nice.
Mocha was interesting. There was a lot more people than I thought there would be.
Yeah, it's a pretty crowded show.
Everybody was like this the whole time. There was a lot of shrunked up shoulders trying to avoid human contact as much as possible.
As it should be. No one should go out of their way to touch other people.
It's just polite.
Yeah.
Nice. And it was cool. There was a lot of good indie artists there. There was the Bay, the Palm Ash lady.
Oh, yeah. Julia Groffer?
Julia Roffer.
It's got a lot of G's and R's, and I think there's some umlauts in there, so I mostly try not to have to say it out loud.
she seems very German or something. Very, very Europe.
She's intense. She's an intense I mean, I don't know. I've never met her, so you would know better than me if she's actually intense, but her internet presence is very intense.
There was Bill Plimpton was there. That was cool.
Remind me what he's done.
He's done Angels and Devils. He's an animator. He did, That Fate, My Face. He did. He's like an indie illustrator too, I think. But he's like one of the best living animators. And I'll fight anybody who says otherwise.
Do you want to I mean, now that you've said you'll fight people over it, I want to hear more about why that is.
Okay. Bill Plimpton's style is, like, uniquely his own and has inspired probably... definitely inspired Ren and Stimpy and that Kruf, whatever his name is, dude. And inspired a lot of grotesque art. Because his art is very... It's like cartoony, and then it'll become psychedelic in a second, and then it'll go to the grotesque, like, extreme close-ups of people's faces.
I mean, cartoony, grotesque, and psychedelic are all a hair's breadth from each other.
Yeah. It's like hyper-defined art, and then it'll break it down and get surrealistic with it.
Nice.
I would highly suggest watching Your Face later if you have not seen it. I'll put it on your wall right now.
Okay.
I did not talk to him or Julia because I talked to them a little bit, but only in, I'm going to say hi.
Yeah.
But I did not tell them that I like them because I feel like I would have... exploded.
Okay, well, you heard it here first. Since I assume they both listen to our podcast, since there's no proof that they don't.
Oh, of course.
Aaron LaRoche, big fan of you guys.
Yeah, hit me up on DM. DM me, bros.
Slide into your DMs.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure Julia Graffer was sharing a table with my buddy Hazel, so we're already like 1 degree social connection away, so it can happen.
Oh, I didn't know you went to Mocha too.
No.
Have you been there before?
No. Nope.
Oh.
Nope, nope, nope. I went to Comics Arts Brooklyn last year. Comic Arts Brooklyn, which is in New York. It's a fact about it.
Brooklyn is in New York.
Yeah. I went with Andy and Rachel. Which was an experience never to be repeated.
I met Rumi Hara too. That
yeah.
That's really cool. She's very lithe. Very, very, I got her to sign some stuff actually.
I'm not sure if I've read any of her stuff.
Oh shit.
You gotta start sending me more links to comics, bruh.
I know. I'm gonna send you. What's your address, actually? You don't have to say it on the show.
I was like taking a second, and then I'm like, wait, I can edit. I'm the one who edits this. I'm not sure.
We could do that. Send it to me. Send it to me, because I will most likely forget anyway.
People can just mail me like pipe bombs in the mail. That's fine. Yeah, I'll Facebook message you. There's sirens outside my window. Someone's doing crimes, or possibly needs to go to the hospital.
I hope it's the crimes.
I also hope it's crimes, probably. You know, hard to say which is actually going to end up worse for people at this point, being someone who does... crimes or someone who has to go to the hospital. Both could go pretty badly. It's our moment of grim social realism for this show. Anyway, I'm looking at Rumi Hara's website now, and I really don't think I've read any of this, but it's beautiful. Like, I like this a lot.
Yeah, she's real good at the pictures. She's got I think she's got two. She's done a lot of stuff, like illustrating, but I think she's finally writing her own stees.
It looks like she's done a couple mini comics. Anyway, you met her. That's great. How was that?
It was nice. She was like, thanks for liking my work. And I was like, you're cool. And I think they expected me to like not like comics, but I like comics. And then they were like, you cool man. And I was like, sweet.
I am not sure why they would think you don't like comics. I mean, you basically look like a huge nerd all the time. It's an Aaron Lurish fact.
Yeah, I always look like I got pens on me.
Yeah, you kind of do. I'm always a little surprised that you don't have a pocket protector.
I have a pocket protector.
What? No, you no.
Yeah, I'm wearing one right now. My brother has one right now.
Oh God, I have been missing out on making fun of you for that for like 5, 6 years now. Jesus.
Well, it's too late.
Yeah, it's oh man. Shit.
Yeah, I'm totally uncool.
You might be the nerdiest person I know. Jesus. Ah, you're the best. That's so good. I can't believe they would have doubted your nerd cred.
They knew how much Powerpuff Girls I've been watching. They would have stepped back.
Is this new Powerpuff Girls, or are you going for like retro archives Powerpuff Girls? Did you do the Powerpuff yourself thing?
I
Yes.
did.
I also did, but I don't think either of us posted it on Facebook.
No, I didn't post mine. It didn't feel right. It wasn't like, it was sort of representative of me, but it did not capture my essence.
I feel like that's probably not true. I feel like probably the Powerpuff version of you is more you than you are.
Whoa.
I just feel like you're destined for the Powerpuff universe, bruh.
Oh, thanks.
That was so begrudging. That was such a begrudging response. Anyway, so new Powerpuff Girls, how is it? I've heard that it's socially unjust, but
What isn't socially unjust?
the Garfield movies, those are pretty spotless from a social change perspective. That's just a cat farting on stuff. What's not to love?
Was fairly apolitical. It was a very, like, we know our audience movie. I will give Garfield the movie that.
Yeah,
They
so.
didn't talk about the Iraq War.
Imagine, if you will, Garfield goes to fart on the troops. That's my gift to fucking Garfield. Is Garfield goes to be like a US whatever entertainer and just farts on the troops. Garfield eats all the meal ready to eats, the MREs in Afghanistan and farts on the troops.
You can have it, Jim Davis.
For you.
That's sweet.
Although someone has to have done like a Garfield the banking fat cat thing, right? Someone has to have made like Garfield as the Wall Street fat cats.
There's no way. There's no way that hasn't happened.
Yeah. Because if not,
That's
we're you and
just.
me are writing that all the way to the bank if that's not out there. Buddy, cat, friend. Maze just tried to quit Skype with his horrible feet. But you can't stop the podcast, motherfucker.
it's a forever thing.
It's forever.
All I'm seeing is like a guy in a Garfield. Oh, it's a toddler in a Garfield.
Wait, how did it take you like a solid second to determine if that was a human adult or a toddler? Is that your secret weakness that you can't distinguish adults and toddlers?
There was like, I thought it was like stubble, but it was like chocolate, I guess. I don't know. It was that's why, I always ask babies for like money or job references, and they're like, I'm a baby, I can't help you. Babies are stingy with their references.
Yeah.
Or toddlers. Toddlers and babies, are they different? Help us out, science.
Yeah, if anyone in our listening audience wants to fill us in on that. Now I'm
They're the
seeing,
same, right?
yeah, same
Okay.
thing. Now I'm finding some Garfield as a fat banker, but it looks like it's somebody's graffiti tag.
Oh.
So we could still make the movie wherein Bernie Sanders goes and fights Garfield. That could be our gift to the world.
I into
Yeah.
I saw Bernie Sanders.
How was that?
He was all cute and old, and he was saying some good stuff. Everybody legalizing marijuana got the loudest claps, though.
Of course it did.
Of course it did, but it was all right. There was a lot of people there. A lot of like
Oh, were you
good.
actually like at a Sanders rally? He wasn't like at Mocha? Because here I was assuming Bernie Sanders went to Mocha, maybe tabled. Does Bernie Sanders have a zine for his policy? Can someone reach out to Bernie Sanders and get him to make a zine? Because I need that.
You should make his own comic, The Adventures of Bernie.
I want him to do like depressing autobio comics a la Joe Matt, but it's just Bernie Sanders like sitting around glumly in his socks, being like, banking's out of control in this country.
Keep making memes of me.
What's a dank meme? I just don't know.
I don't know. It was fun. It was some Bernie. I don't. He didn't get my vote, but the person that made me give my vote to Sanders was another supporter who was like, who saw how hungry me and Skylar were, and were like, here, have half of this sandwich. And I was like, this is it. This is a candidate I can believe in because his supporters actually care.
That's socialism in action. From each according to their ability, to each according to how much they want a sandwich.
It was the most selfless, beautiful thing I think I've ever been a part of. The sandwich, not the rally.
I assumed. Bernie sandwich. Maybe you
Okay.
should switch it up to feeling the sand so people can be like, I want a sandwich. Feeling the sand.
I'm just saying a Trump rally would have had hot dogs.
Yeah, probably true. But you would have had to, pay money for them, not just get one from a well-meaning soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd give Mocha and the Bernie Sanders rally 8 stars each.
Nice. That's the official ranking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thinking of ranking things, did you read the new Black Panther?
I did.
How many stars out of 10?
Oof. I'm gonna go honestly with another 8. It's promising.
Yeah.
He's rebuilding a world which was totally messed up, which I appreciate. Ta-Nehisi Coates is a good writer. but he does have a flavor for the bombastic, which is.
I mean, that kind of makes sense in superhero comics. Like,
yeah.
It's a pretty natural place to express that. Most superhero comics are not about the subtlest of gestures. As much as people would like to be, you know, images worth a thousand words, they can be so subtle. Most people are not. And that's fine. That's okay.
Yeah, it's true.
I feel like people really need to just stop being whiners and embrace the Biff Bam Pow. And he's basically done that, I think, in a lot of ways. There's a lot of Biff Bam Pow in this. That's not all there is, but there is a lot of Biff Bam Pow.
There was more explosions than I thought there would be, which sort of made me feel at home.
I liked all the explosions. I thought that was good. I was excited, although hesitant, about how much he's just diving into politics as, like, let's look at the politics of this country. I guess that makes sense, because he's, you know, king and whatever. Tentatively, it looks like he's trying to do a somewhat nuanced take on, you know, why people might not want a hereditary monarchy with superpowers to be their government.
There's definitely dissonance up in there. Those two are interesting characters. I don't know a lot. I don't know if they're, like, from a past thing, but I think they're too new. The villains are new.
It felt like he wasn't necessarily setting them up as villains, just as...
Yeah, as antagonists.
Yeah. Or at least not the lady. Although I have... And this is just on a purely technical note. That's my obnoxious voice, so get ready for that. I have some questions about how her costume works, because that's a, like... Okay, so her shirt here, is at, like, a 45-degree angle to her chest. That's not supported by her boobs, or would sort of... It wouldn't be doing that, right? Like, that would sort of fall back... And it's, like, starched out. It's got, like... Is it sheet metal? Is she wearing sheet metal? Because it's at a perfect 45-degree angle. And I'm confused by it.
Wakandan women are required by law to show their navel.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to be that guy, right? But it did seem like they could have had some more clothes wearing.
Yeah. I was wondering about, like, is she wearing that while she's doing the thing in the beginning, too?
Because there's a lot of magic being flung around. Or also, wouldn't she stand out if she's wearing... First off, she's wearing green, and the people she's, like, heightened the anger of, their eyes turn green. So you'd think people would be like, we live in a wacko superhero world. Connect the dots if she's wearing her Emerald City steel plate outfit. But that said, I don't know. She's, you know, using supernatural powers to, quote, reveal to them in all their agony their deeper, truer selves. And of course, Black Panther's like, No, she's the one causing dissent. Also, Black Panther's stepmom being like, you did an extrajudicial execution, so we are going to judicially execute you, was an interesting piece.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting moment of, like, we're looking at, like, here's the way the official government has to function to be the official government, and then here's, you know, the problems unaddressed by the government. Also, I was just really hyped that there's lesbians. That was really good for me.
There's hella lesbians in that book, I feel like.
I was really glad of that. I kind of hope that every female character we've seen is lesbians. including the bit characters who are just like checking out their cool floating screens and worrying about the news. I hope every single one. But yeah, the fact that there's like a lesbian superhero team with dope masks is really good. I'm just like, hell yeah, do some extrajudicial execution of men misusing their power. I want to read that solo comic.
The interesting thing about the Black Panther thing is that it's a world in chaos. Nobody really has any power, it seems like. It just seems it's a desperate and wanton struggle to decide who's in charge.
Yeah, everyone has power, but nobody has authority.
Yeah.
So it's gonna end up being like, and that's where his stepmom doing the execution is interesting, because she's like, this is power following authority, even if it's not like right. The right thing to do is exercise the appropriate channels of authority. Although, and maybe this is just me, I say that in my like, there's no disagreement allowed here voice, so buckle up. If I had a secret police of powerful ladies with robot exosuits, like, the first thing I would give them the authority to do in the eyes of the law is execute people who are doing rapes. Yeah. That would be my first. I would be like, absolutely. And if any of our sort of... I don't know what the right word there is. Is he, like, a mayor? Is that what he's doing?
He's a chieftain. So he's, like, yeah. A dude. He was, like, a glorified counselor. Like, they'd be like, hey, is this a good idea? And he'd be like, meh, I don't know. I'm gonna go back to doing awful things.
I don't really see why that even had to be an issue. That should have been within their purview as robo-lesbians.
Hopefully in the next Wakandan, whatever their list of decrees is, that is covered.
But yeah, I mean, my point before I got distracted by robo-lesbians was that we have there people who are like, I'm going to do what's right, even if it's not what's official, and then to do what is right means to do what is official. So, it did feel like sort of an artificial case, because you would think there would be something in there for when chieftains go wrong, but that fits exactly what they're trying to set up as the sort of moral conflict there of, like, doing what's right, doing what's official.
Yeah. I'm a geek out.
Do it. Do it up.
Wakanda's broke as fuck right now. Like, their vibranium is all gone. Atlantis totally fucked them up, killed their people. They're, like, on the last rungs of even being a society. So, if you're a chieftain or an official, this is the time when you're gonna do some janky... Under the table, crimes. Under the table, rapes.
Yeah.
And so, it's, Black Panther has to decide whether he wants to be a champion or a king, because he could totally be a champion and save everybody. And everybody be like, yeah, you're cool again, bro. But he wouldn't be a king anymore. Or he could be a king and be a total dick, but have his kingdom still be in one piece.
You know, I feel like there have been political leaders in the past who have dealt with regional corruption. Not necessarily with 100% success rate, but there are ways to, as an official, through officialdom, deal with corrupt underlings.
Not everybody can be Iceland, or...
Well, Iceland's having some struggles right now, because the fucking Panama Papers, right? their fucking prime minister or whatever, offshore hordes of monies. So
that's why they were doing so good. I honestly haven't read the Panama Papers because I can only handle so much. I can only handle so much completely blatant corruption.
Honestly, I can only handle so much reading, so I haven't read them either. But I have read summaries on it, specifically the case of Iceland, because it's been a major boost to the Pirate Party. So I'm interested to see, first off, how well Iceland's social security programs and social wellness programs are going to hold up with a party that was largely founded, from what I understand, as a joke. So people are obviously very upset, and justifiably so, with the genuine fuckery. But voting in a symbolic rebellion party is potentially going to backfire, I feel like, but I don't know too much about the Pirate Party's actual policies. But they best not fuck it up, because I continue to want those Scandinavian cultural exports. So if they interfere with my access to black metal bands, we're going to have words.
You hear it here first. Don't fuck up, Iceland.
Yeah, don't fuck up. Just because your prime minister is a fuck. Actually, I should really stop listening to black metal bands anyway. They're all morally dubious, but
black metal is awesome.
It is. it just has an unfortunate overlap rate with bad politics.
You can't. I listen to black metal, and it's done nothing but help me. I just ignore all the other stuff that the people do in their spare time.
Yeah, I mean, burning churches is really more of an extracurricular, so
yeah, whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, Pirate Party better not fuck up. And so had Black Panther. I hope he doesn't fuck up. I was trying to make that a transition, but that just sounds like I'm being an asshole, so
I mean, it's did you read, what's that fucking book? Between the World and Me?
I haven't, because there's only so sad I can get before it's, like, a problem.
I feel like Black Panther's gonna fuck up a lot. I don't know. I think he's a hopeful dude, but he's also super bummed out.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be interesting, potentially useful, right? If instead of, I don't know, if this becomes a new take on the grim and morally compromised superhero, where it's like, he necessarily fails and we go through that arc with him before he figures shit out. I think that's the most reasonable and likely thing for him to do as a writer, is to have Black Panther initially completely fail at his redemption arc, and then we get a proper redemption arc. That just seems like the most writerly thing that could happen there, is we see him absolutely fail along the lines of, because if power versus authority is, I mean, that's pretty classic superhero shit, right? That's what's going down in Civil War too.
Redemption.
Yeah, so if he has to go on his hero's journey for that, totally, that's gonna be great. Potentially. I guess it could also go badly. They could choose to murder the robo-lesbians, which would be a real problem for me, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's likely, but
maybe everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Maybe his sister will wake up and they'll be like, hey, let's both be Black Panther, and we're gonna have a big old cookout in Wakanda and just talk about all our problems.
I do think it would be interesting if where they go with the, like, there's Black Panther and then there's Black Panther in Black Panther 2, who hasn't woken up, is if they decide that actually you shouldn't really have your superhero leader and your political leader be the same person? As if they decide, you know what a good solution for this power and authority issue is? If we sort of break them off into two roles and just have her be king and he gets to, like, fight crime.
Yeah. You gotta split it. Happy Siblings Day, too. Gotta split it up.
Oh, yeah, it is Siblings Day, isn't it? Well, that's our Siblings Day influenced suggestion for Black Panther.
Split up the kingdom, you know?
Yeah.
Also resuscitate your siblings.
He's trying so hard. How did we feel about the art? It's good superhero shit. It's like very superhero art. I thought it was good.
I like the cover a lot.
Yeah? You want to talk more about it?
It's very... Oh, it's very, like, this is a new Black Panther. It's like he was a sidekick for, like, 50 bajillion years, and this is, like, his own comic again, which is nice.
Yeah.
And that cover is basically him saying, everything I own is burnt to shit, but I still look pretty dang cool, and I'm ready to take it back.
It did feel important that, like, Wakanda's, for a long time, I think, I haven't really, I mean, you know, I don't read things that aren't printed on bar napkins, but, my understanding is they've been, like, understood to be technologically superior to the rest of the world for a long time, but since I think the perception of Black Panther has been that he's a character sort of stuck in the past a little bit, or he was originally created in kind of a fucked up way, and then, because thanks, Jay Kerbs. So now they've situated him in this hyper-modern city right on the fucking cover, and not just, like, technologically, but architecturally, those are very of the moment with the curved walls. They look like a lot of the stuff that's coming out of, like, the UAE almost, right? That kind of glass... curved skyscraper type building. Very city of the future of the now. So that's exciting that they've decided to situate him that way.
Totally future stuff in here.
Yeah. This might be the lamest thing I could possibly say, but I feel like the combination of those architectural elements and the trees in the foreground, because the trees are like, here's some civic shit going, right? We've got some trees growing. Something about, like, this place still has city parks, but then also the flag is on fire is a nice touch of, like, this place was not just Silicon Valley of Africa, right? But it had civic plazas, so there was a significant civil government, and then now it's on fire.
I like Split. Like, the art is doing a good job of, like, Wakanda is a great city with all the big old buildings and the curved buildings, and then the other, like, the not scientists indoor poor people are in pits. Just straight up pits.
Literal pits.
What, they call it the Great Mound or something.
Which is a little, I don't know, man, that's a little... But either way, I think we can all agree that in Wakanda, as ever else, being poor is the pits.
Boom. with the wordplay.
Yeah, I guess, do you have other thoughts? I loved the transformation sequence a little bit, where he's got, like, symbols crawling over his face. That's very, like, that's some good comic sci-fi shit.
I did love that.
That shit was super good.
I do like that a lot, actually.
Honestly, the whole way technology is done in this is, like, super good.
That little panel mabobber with the where it's like the touch screen.
Yeah.
Totally badass and start. Yeah.
Yeah. For those in our audience who are not able to see our Skype conversation, thus know what we're going, yeah, about. the page where he's pulled up an image of the, what is she, seditionist? And it's his soul stalker interface. But it's done as, like, super, starkier than Stark touchscreen tech. I feel like in Marvel, Stark Industries has been synonymous with weird touchscreen shit, so it's nice to see Black Panther do it better.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Stark totally dick rides Black Panther's technology.
True facts.
They're collaborators, but everybody knows it's like T'Challa, Reed Richards, and then Tony Stark are the smart people.
Yeah, in that order.
I don't care. Iron Man's a third chump.
Third rank, riding Black Panther's coattails. Yeah, that's our official The Trades take on that. I liked everybody's hairstyles. I felt like they paid a lot of good attention to doing different hairstyles, and they all look super good. That's very shallow, but also I believe it 100%.
I didn't do the hair right. His mom's hair, or...
His stepmom's?
His stepmom's hair is on fleek. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's some correct dreads.
Yeah. So many different hairstyles. I love it. Even the bit characters, everybody's got different hair. Do we have other thoughts? Do you have other thoughts? Do you have additional things to say about Black Panther?
I hope there's more the lesbians, and I hope there's more fighting. That's sort of it.
I'd be really happy if the lesbians just punch people for all of the next issue. If it's just the lesbians punch everyone in Wakanda, I'm for it.
I think you will get your wish, at least for a few issues.
Perfect. Love it. Did you read... Just trying to think of other stuff we have both probably read. Did you... Insofar as I mailed it to you, Jonesy and or the new-ish, not that new anymore, Citizen Jack.
Oh, I did read that. I read the Citizen Jack, I'm all caught up, and it's getting good. Issue 4 was real.
Lots of splatter. Liked that. Liked the splatter.
Tons of blood.
The hallucinations are, or possibly not hallucinations, the supernatural elements are handled well, I think. Both fun to look at and not hashtag problematic. Because I think... When it
got into his hands, that's when I was like, yeah. that's fucking that artist is real good.
Yeah, the art's super good in that book. It just every issue exactly what you would want. Just horrifying monsters and then splatter, and it's super good. I'm still like futzing around with where I am on the like politics of that, right? Like, because it's been praised a lot as really strong satire, and I feel like it's parody.
But, yeah.
That's not a problem. I think it's a really good monster series with sort of the backdrop of politics. It's just not like a strong politics series, and it doesn't have to be.
As long as it's got good characters, like, and when I say good, I don't mean good in nature, but
morally
like
upstanding, rather compelling and or interesting.
They're all like, there's not, like, many different characters amongst them, but that base of greed is always... Greed takes different forms, and it's interesting to see the forms it takes in this book.
Yeah, I think if we were gonna say, like, desire for success, and then because that's how some of them respond to that. Some of them are just greed, like actual hoarded gold. And then, you know, Jack as sort of pitiful figure who wanted to be loved, and then the way that that has warped over time, which is part of why I think it's not effective satire, right? I think if you're gonna say you're doing a political satire, or I don't really think that's the claim that the text is actually making. I think that's what's been said about it, because Jack's rise to power as a circus sort of mirrors Trumpism, which is legit. It totes does, and I assume that's on purpose, and they're all very smart involved in it. But I think, you know, if you're gonna say at his core, and it's very good storytelling to do this. I actually love this in Citizen Jack. It's just why I think it's not satire, qua like satire. Setting him up as pitiful dude who wanted to be loved is not useful or reflective politically of the situation. Because Trump is not hapless. None of the significant political figures we have right now are anything like hapless. None of them are failed hockey players and failed salesmen. Like, Trump failed as a businessman, but he never actually failed, right? He was shit at it.
But he was still okay. He still had his daddy's money.
Yeah, he still had so much money and so much power, despite the fact that he was absolute shit. This is maybe not a great thing to say, but I think the strength of the, not pathos of it, but the notes of humanization that are so well done in Citizen Jack are why it doesn't work as satire. But why it works so well as such a good story otherwise, right? Because I think we can feel, if not sympathy for the devil, this clownish oaf who has been put in power by the fuckery of the system and by his own raw, disgusting greed, and then the raw, disgusting greed of everyone around him in different ways. I think he sort of has to be hapless to be at the center of that, because that way we see, or we have the chance to see, more successful and smarter political manipulators. But my understanding from people who are, like, closer to Trumpism, or paying better attention, I'm just despairing and trying not to think too much, is that Trump is, as much as he was a shit failed businessman, he's not, like, stupid, that he's been pretty savvy in how he's manipulated his political reception.
It's the campaigner in the story, I think her name is Donna, or...
Yeah, I think so.
It's interesting where she's coming from, because she's becoming an actual, almost threat to Marlon Spike, or at least a...
Well, Marlon Spike tries to kill her, right? Or tries to have Jack kill her.
Yeah.
So we assume that whatever she represents is a threat to him, mostly because she, for reasons of her own, listens to Jack, I think is what we're getting from that, is that he's convinced that she actually would like to help him. And she's the... Is she the first person in the series who hasn't seen Jack as expendable, even while working on his right? Because his dad sees him as totally expendable.
Yeah, his dad is a straight up, like, I love you as long as you're doing good, and you are in fact, in that fact, making me look good, and or helping me.
I mean, his dad throws him under the bus. That's what we understand to be how Jack got where he is his dad did some fuckery, and then his dad threw him right under the bus. And then once Jack is back on his way up, his dad is like, hey, buddy, friend, pal, I made you.
Don't forget, you came out of me.
Because I think his dad set him up to be mayor, so we're seeing that same... he's a man made by other people on his political campaigns on a larger and more supernatural scale as he runs for president. But then he was just made mayor to serve his father's. Basically, what I'm saying is Marlon Spike is the same thing as his dad.
Yeah, pretty much, actually.
Yeah.
I think there are times when Marlon Spike versed his dad in issue 4, pretty much, because his dad was like, oh, do this for me to prove that you love me. And Marlon Spike was essentially saying, oh, get me blood to prove that you love me.
Yeah, prove your devotion, and I will set you up for success. And then we know that his dad already, like, 100% fucked him on that. And we can assume Marlon Spike is going to 100% fuck him.
No, totally.
Because Marlon Spike is not there for his interests.
Marlon Spike just... He's awesome. He's a bad boy. I like it.
Yeah. So, they're kind of... It's the same thing. He's made bargains with both of them, and he's sort of their helpless patsy, but he's also, like, going along with it. And, like, I don't know. Hockey Bruiser, I feel like, is a really sympathetic character in the American imagination at this point, for whatever reason.
His buddy got shot.
Yes.
And he punched out somebody, and everybody saw his wiener. So he's like half, he's like a dope, but he's a lovable dope.
Yeah, or pitiable anyway, which is importantly probably not the same thing. As much as, what is it, love, hope, and charity, and charity is the greatest of these or whatever, hashtag the Bible. I'm pretty sure I'm misquoting that. But, he's certainly not supposed to be likable. But the character of, like, dumb bruiser trying to protect his pals, or dumb bruiser who's set up by the people with the actual brain power, is, like, a sympathetic archetype in some ways. And does not at all reflect what's actually happening in American politics.
American politics is...
evil people who know what they're doing, so...
American politics is, like, risk. There's a bunch of calculated moves. Everybody's trying to make sure they have the right amount of army or people on their side.
Okay, what if Jack is not a Trump allegory? Marlon Spike is the Trump allegory. Jack is the American voter. Because the American voter is hapless, dumb, and brutal.
Ouch. Yeah, it does add, oh, Marlon Spike is Trump. Marlon Spike's, yeah, I guess his first.
Because he's the one making promises about power and glory, you know, make things great again, and asking for blood sacrifices. And I think we see that at Trump rallies, is literal blood sacrifices, right, where they are committing horrifying acts of violence, horrifying racist acts of violence, to prove their devotion to Marlon Spike, who is Trump. So, if Citizen Jack, if Jack himself, right, and oh shit, it's called Citizen Jack, isn't it? He's not, it's because he's the American voting populace now. I realize if Susan Sontag were here, she would slap me in my face for being like, it's an allegory, but Susan Sontag is dead and I am not. Suck it, Susan Sontag.
Get your shit together, Sontag.
She's dead, it's too late.
Allegory is fine. Allegory, if it's true, you know, why fight it?
Sometimes things can be allegories. Yeah, so Jack is being thrust into and manipulated into this idea of he's going to get power, but of course he's not actually. And the American people are being told, you know, we'll make you great again. But of course, actually, they're just committing horrifying blood sacrifices and weakening their social ties through murder.
Yeah, everybody thinks that politics has to involve bloodletting, but it really doesn't.
It's like we gotta balance the humors of the American population through bloodletting and bile, But we don't. We can have a more civil, less medieval campaign. Medieval medicine has no place in modern politics.
Yeah.
So I think that makes me much more sympathetic to the book as satire if Trump is not Jack, because Jack's too sympathetic for that. Set up to be too incompetent and too much of a patsy, and that doesn't work. But if we assume that he's the voter, great, it all functions again. I'll take that allegory.
What do you think Cricket is? Is Cricket like the voice of morality and reason in all this? And why is it a dolphin?
Man. I feel like Cricket is also the American voter. That seems fine. They're all the American voter. He's, you know, much more level-headed.
A lot more bipartisan. A lot more... who's that guy with this? He's the Anderson Cooper.
Yeah. I mean, Anderson Cooper's pretty fucking ridiculous.
Cooper's a little... He's problematic, but he's all right.
he's not the worst of them. I feel like if you're going to do a series that nods to reality, right? If you're going to do a series that is not supposed to be taken as self-contained, you need a character who nods to the ridiculousness of it. You need a character who...
One of these.
Yeah, you need a character who's... Is that a shark?
Yeah, it's a shark.
Do you just have a vinyl shark? What does the vinyl shark say on it?
Yeah.
What is written on the bottom of that vinyl shark?
Everything is Teeth, a soon-to-be forthcoming graphic novel by Evie Wilde.
That's delightful. Yeah. That's so good.
It's by my bedside, whatever.
Yeah, of course. That's perfect. Yeah, you need a character who's a little bit outside of it, who comments on it, who is the position of the audience's cynicism and doubt, maybe. So that they are like, yes, this is ridiculous. We are with you on that one, pal.
Mm-hmm. The voice of reason is an unpopular rule in every medium, but if no one does it, then it's just a shit show.
You know, it's importantly, nobody is ever going to listen to that dude, but the audience has him to, like, check in with, and to maybe be the audience stand-in that way, which... we can talk about whether that lets people off the hook a little bit. If they're like, I, like Cricket, see the absurdity of this, so I am not Citizen Jack. I'm Cricket the Dolphin. I mean, maybe. But also, like, what have you done to, I mean, I say this, I'm not currently registered to vote. I'm going to be. I'm going to get that paperwork in on Monday or Tuesday.
I was about to be like, oh no.
it's just because I have some weirdness about my identification that's being a nightmare to sort out. So I'm talking shit, but I also have to get my shit together and get registered to vote and whatever. But the point is, I feel like having the audience stand in who comments on the ridiculousness maybe lets the audience say, like, oh, I'm that guy. I'm not the bad guy. But the audience is always the bad guy.
Looking at the mirror is what a good book should do. It should make you be like, oh shit, I'm not the dolphin, I'm the naked guy on the snowblower.
Yeah, that's the most succinctly put and true thing I've ever heard.
You have to hear more things.
I don't know. I still think that would top the charts. Do you have other thoughts on Citizen Jack?
The art is getting real interesting. Like it's getting more into the. I'm really liking the close-ups they're getting of Jack as he goes on this journey into it. There's a big panel of just his face, and he's like, "Where's Marlin Spike?" And the look on his face is just so. Like, you can visibly see his soul is getting drained out of him. It's sort of beautiful.
Yeah, the art's so good and so convincing.
Also, big ups for dads getting eaten by wolves. Also, Sam Humphries, I got words.
Yikes. Okay.
No words for that guy.
By all means.
I wasn't there because I live in another state, dog. Come at me, bro.
I did encourage him to write fighting words on that comic for you. That's really on me, not on Sam Humphries, who was a lovely person.
All right. I still have, like, I'm not mad. I'm just a little heated.
That's entirely on me. Sam Humphries is a beautiful soul who wouldn't try to fight you at all.
Yeah, good.
Did you read Jonesy though?
I did read Jonesy.
I realize teen girl solves love problems is not necessarily your genre of first choice, but it's.
I actually was surprisingly, like, the first issue, I was sort of like, I love the art. I love that shit. I love that Steven Universe-y, like, oh, our arms are weird and we have huge star eyes. And I'm like, yeah, I wish
Honestly,
people looked like
they
that.
have
I wouldn't
noodle
want to.
arms and little nub teeth. That was the thing I was the most hyped on when Jonesy 1 came out, because I want every comic. This is my policy, and I talk about this all the time because I believe it more than anything else. More nubbin teeth in comics. The people have spoken.
Let it be known.
Yeah.
Let it be spoken from every shore and every mountaintop that if there are no nubs and teeth. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, leave town. So the art is super beautiful. The colors make my heart grow 8 sizes every time I look at it.
No.
Yeah.
It's really so nice.
Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful book.
The story of like two enemies becoming friends is always, I'm a sucker for that. So when that happened, I was like, I'm in. It's okay.
Their friendship is so good and so heartwarming and so like teen girl.
Teen girl friendship is a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful natural resource that we all need to treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was struggling with that, but I was like, no, it's a beautiful thing.
You talk me through your struggle here, bud.
My struggle is that teen girl friendship, okay, the foundation of which is often snacks, enjoying good music taste, and
Yeah.
then sometimes it gets fucked up by boys and/or girls or romances, and
Romance ruins
I'm waiting
everything.
for that to happen in this, and I don't want it to happen.
I feel like it's not going to. I feel like they will likely have tension, right? But they seem to be like they have established that they know who each other's secret crush are, and I feel like they're just gonna collaborate to make things better.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I would be super bummed out if it's like, oh, we don't chill anymore. We're just dating. And I'd be like, no.
I don't think that's likely. I mean, it's a mini series right now, right? As much as I would like it to be an indefinite ongoing that goes on for like 50 generations of cool
It's
teens.
amazing.
Yeah, it's a mini series.
No, you're right. I like their exorbitant amount of references to anime.
So good and so true. That's what teens like. Teens like anime.
That's what all the cool kids like. Everybody's into it.
I think this is something that's really beautiful is it's a celebration of how cool these kids are, but Jonesy is definitively not popular. Right? She's cool as fuck, and we as adult readers, especially who are out of high school, but also I assume the young adult middle school. But I assume also the middle school kids who are going to read that are going to be like, Jonesy is obviously cool as fuck. But she's not like the popular kid. She's like a weird kid who works at her dad's donut shop and makes weird obsessive zines. She's decidedly uncool, and that's what makes her the actual literal best.
It does make her the coolest.
Yeah.
She's used to being alone, and she's finally. But she has this strange power that lets everybody fall in love with whatever she wants, and she never seems to use it for anything except to get things, which I
And get
love.
out of work, which I am infatuated with, because that's teen shit right there. Is I don't want to deal with shit. This is twisting subjects, not really changing subjects. But right, like she clearly does wrong in sending customers away from her dad's donut shop to get out of work. But the universe doesn't punish her for it, and I love that, right? I love teen girls getting away with shit.
That was
Yeah.
funny. Like, how can you get mad at that,
It's
though? How can you get mad at that face?
so good. I think my favorite single panel in all of Jonesy so far, right, is when she's like, "What would my grandmother say?" And it's like, "Destroy your enemies." It's in Jonesy 1, I think. And it's so good. I love her family, right? I mean, I'm a sucker for dads. That's an FSD fact, is like successful people being dads in stories, like people being successful at being dads, makes my heart grow 8 sizes. But her family as a unit that works in its own weirdo way, where she's like absolutely a bratty middle schooler sometimes, and her dad is the least cool person there's ever been, and I love him so much, and her grandmother who is
Feisty,
the
that's the same.
best, the actual literal best. My God, the most stylish person there's ever been in comics. And also just like a force for chaos.
Need more of those.
Yeah, more tiny grandmothers who were forces for chaos. And they're, specifically a Latino family that's like important, right? That's important for comics in general, for the way the comic is set up, for who her grandmother is. It's really specific, in like that's what makes that family who it is. And I think it's astonishingly good that we have a family that is like the absolute soul of wholesomeness and like family functioning and like just a real, it's a real love letter to this family in some ways. And I think that's super important and good.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, right? Like this is the cool nerd teen that America has been waiting for, and it's about her incredibly sweet Latino family, like just being a fucking family full of fucking dorks. 'Cause they're the nerdiest motherfuckers comics has ever made. It's this beautiful dweeby just really functional family unit, and I'm so glad that exists.
More families and comics would be pretty cool.
And then also her best friend, whose mom is the mayor, that's another really beautiful family unit that we get to see, where it's like a very different dynamic because her mom is like high-powered achiever, and she's like also high powered because she's like the most popular girl in school, and she's a black queer woman, or you know, queer teen.
Black queer. You're a woman when you. You're a man or a woman as soon as you listen to the Smiths.
No, that's for teens. That's some teen shit. Morrissey is for babies. I just started listening to the Smiths for the first time this year, and I can say definitively that Morrissey is for babies. Morrissey does not appeal to whatever is an adult responsible human that pays bills in me. Morrissey appeals to the part of me that just wants to cry in bed and throw fits. So, Morrissey's not adult.
As soon as you listen to black metal, you're an adult.
Yeah, there you go. as soon as you understand the moral exchange that you make, by deciding you're still going to listen to black metal despite what it is, you're an adult. But yeah, like the cool teen who's got a little bit of a lesson to learn, but is also like 100% her own lady, is a black queer lady, and that's super good. Like,
she loves country. She knows herself.
Yeah, she's. I think that's, oh god, I'm sorry, I love Jonesy so much, that's why I mailed it to you to make sure you read it, because you wouldn't have on your own, I don't think.
No.
So I'm just going to continue to mail you issues of Jonesy to make sure we continue to talk about this series I love. Because that's a moment of just such earnestness, where she has this extremely uncool thing, and I don't know if she's actually good at playing country music. Jonesy fucking loves it, but Jonesy is a dork. but that's just something that she fucking believes in and loves and does. And seeing, I don't know, seeing teen girls just wholeheartedly do things that they're maybe not cool at. And then also seeing teen girls sort of negotiate that, right? Teen girls who want to be cool and standoffish and a little artificial. But also having these things that they're absolutely wholehearted about is so true to teens. I assume teen dudes also do that, but I don't really associate with men in general, so I don't know too much about that.
When I was a teen, I would do mostly, I was still playing with action figures until I was like 20, and my friend had to forcibly be like, Aaron, you can't do this anymore. And I was like, okay. So
that's, I mean, first off, that's some nonsense. Believe in yourself and your action figures. But
thanks. It's too late. But,
yeah, that's fair.
The teens are super. That's when you, man. Yeah. That's when you're supposed to like follow your heart. That's when you continue. Learn how to follow your heart, and then you continue following your heart as you grow older.
But hopefully. It's also when you learn not to follow your heart, and when you learn, I don't know, this is, I'm just gonna get real autobiographical for a sec, because I have been so depressed lately.
Hit him.
Because I remember being 14, and hanging out with a bunch of people, a bunch of specifically dudes, who were already in bands with each other, and being like, it is too late for me to learn guitar. It is too late for me to get into cool music if I haven't already. And I remember my first boyfriend, who I dated for far too fucking long as a teen, making me mix CDs to fix my taste in music. That was his explicit. And I mean, he wasn't wrong. But he was, like, horrified that I was unaware of, like, the rock classics. But I remember being, like, it is too late for me to pick up these skills. Because there were already the people who did these things and the people who did not. And I was the people who did not. Mm. And I did theater, right? Because that was what I had always done since, like, being a literal tiny child. But it was, like, too late for me to get into guitar and shit. Because it wouldn't have been cool to be a beginner at it. Baby F. Stews had a lot of problems with her tiny, stupid brain. But it was, you know, I feel like I can't have been the only teen who was like, well, there are people who do this and there are people who do not do this, and I'm in the latter category, and it's not cool to fail at stuff.
It's definitely true that in high school, in the performing arts high school where I went to, everybody had their roles explicitly spelled out for them.
Yeah.
There were no jocks, so that hole was like filled up with even stranger archetypes. Like, you're the ultimate frisbee kids. You all hang out together. You're the theater kids. You all hang out with each other. You're the magic card players. You all hang out with each other. And then everybody on the fringe, you just hang out in the basement until you figure out what you want to do.
Yeah. My high school was a public high school, so we did have some jocks. There were jocks. But the sort of subcultural clique was small enough that anyone who was like a little bit weird or had a traumatic childhood were buddies. But within that, there were people who already knew how to play instruments and were continuing to get music lessons from their folks and whatever. And it felt too late to develop an earnest interest in new things, which is stupid because of course it wasn't. If we don't have a teen audience, but someone find a teen, look them in their dead teen eyes and be like, get earnest about shit. Try things.
Believe in your dreams. Do what you want. It doesn't matter how bad you are. You'll get good later.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be your fucking dreams. Just try shit. If you have the resources, try shit. Yeah, it was there's something refreshing about seeing teens negotiate that awkward boundary of, like, having 10,000 megatons of earnestness and then also being really defensive of that.
I feel as I get older, I get more earnest and not, it's a falsehood that you got to pick a lane. Eventually you should, you know, if you want to be a person.
See, but I think that is horseshit, and I think that is something that people have made up to lie to those of us who do not immediately show extreme talent at something. Because you know fucking what? What's his fucking name from... I'm being so obnoxious right now. I'm not sorry at all, though. What's his fucking name for My Chemical Romance? Gets to be a fucking multi-talented whatever. He gets to write comics. He gets to fucking be in My Chemical Romance. He gets to write shitty poetry.
Yeah, right? Fuck that guy. If he can do it, then you can.
Yeah, world. Right? Like, there's no reason why you have to fucking let a handful of people become multi-talented. The bassist from The Clash, right? Is a fucking exhibiting fucking painter at this point. So, first of all, they gave him a bass because they were like, it's going to be easier than a guitar and you're not that smart. That's basically true. That's also, I think, what happened with the frontman for Thin Lizzy, where they fired him from the band. This is my favorite fact of all time, so I'm just going to talk about it. And I assume you already know it, but maybe someone out in podcast land does not.
Educate them about Thin Lizzy's greatness, about Phil Lynott's greatness.
Do you want to actually take this one over? Because the specific anecdote that I'm in love with is this friend fucking fired him for being kind of shit and like tone deaf because he had tonsil problems. And then he felt bad because it was his best friend. So he fucking taught him an instrument because he was like, I feel bad because you're my best friend. And that's the best fact in history. I love that so much. Also, he was, like, amazing and talented and, like, concerningly handsome, which is a problem, but... Because no one should be handsomer than me. I don't understand why that's allowed. Even dead people shouldn't get to be handsomer than me.
Not even dead people.
He's so handsome, and I don't like that, but...
Handsome till death, though.
What?
Handsome till death.
Yeah,
Handsome beyond death.
I mean, he's still handsome. There's video recordings of him being... I mean, presumably his corpse is just a corpse now. But there's still video recordings of him being handsomer than me out there, and that's a problem in my life.
That's my Halloween costume one day. I just have to get an afro.
You can do it. that's within your abilities. I feel like you could live up to that handsome level if you go for gold on it. I don't say this to many people, but I feel like you could be handsomer than me and live up to the level of handsomeness that he set if you just believe in yourself.
I'm going to start being handsome next week.
Handsome is already within you, Aaron. You are already handsome. You just have to embrace it. Handsome is performative.
My God.
Yeah. This is so off topic from Jonesy, but I'm going to blow the fucking lid off this one. If you just start telling people you're handsome, they go along with it. That has been my revelation for this year, is I just started telling people I was handsome in increasingly hyperbolic and ridiculous tones, and no one has fucking contradicted me yet. So it helps that I got a really good haircut at some point, but I have since gotten a series of worse haircuts and nobody's argued. So you just have to start telling people you're handsome and they go with it. It'll work for you too.
That's some real life knowledge right there. That's real life stuff.
Yeah, so two things for any teens in our listening audience. One, just fucking tell people you're handsome and they can't fight you. And two, just try shit. Just try to do shit. Probably that also applies to, like, us. Like, we're both pretty despairy people sometimes, I think.
Yeah. My inspiration and, like, go get them, like, dries up every time I go outside. Yeah. I'm just like, I went outside. I've done, this is it. I did it. I'm a curl up.
When I go outside and it's like sunny or whatever, and I'm listening to The Descendants' "Cool to Be You" on loop 500 million times, because it makes me believe in myself. I'm like, I can do things. The world is my oyster. I could learn to write again. I could get into grad school and blow the fucking roof off this Scott McCloudian bullshit. But then as soon as I come back inside, I just cry while listening to folk music and wonder why I'm alive. So
it's hard to, like, how do you balance, like, the desire to do things with the soul-crushingness of existence sometimes?
So far, I haven't. I just have so much sadness. Yesterday, so do you know who the Milk Carton Kids are? It's much funnier if you do, because they're so bad.
I'm gonna look them up right now, so but I do not.
They're two bland white dudes who wear suits and play guitars. That's like all they are and all they do. And they're very good at playing guitars, I guess. I'm not much of a judge. But look at them. See how bland they are.
Oh, wow. That's just, like, actually looking at milk cartons.
Yeah, they ostensibly name themselves after a song, but I think they just name themselves because they're, like, fucking fat-free milk. Just extremely bland.
They even look bored while they're performing. They look sort of like, man, I wish I was napping.
They do, like, uncomfortable deadpan banter with each other that's, like, it's gotta be sort of fake, because you can't be that much of a, like, a white dude and actually feel uncomfortable in your life, right? You have to know that you have power and privilege, but they just seem uncomfortable and miserable bantering with each other. So anyway, I just watched an hour of them performing and cried yesterday, and that was my fucking day. It might have been closer to an hour and a half. It was just like, did that with my day. So, and they're my natural enemies as, like, fucking bland, presumably het white dudes, presumably cishet white dudes, who are 30-something and playing guitars and getting nominated for fucking Grammys. They're my natural enemies, but I just cried and watched them play folk songs. So
that's a good, you can't beat yourself up for that, though. Sometimes you gotta listen. I downloaded all of Hall & Oates, and I've just been listening to Hall & Oates, and that's all I've been doing. But I'm not gonna, it's a little like, sometimes you gotta just let yourself feel things, I don't know.
Man, I don't know, there's sometimes you gotta do that, and then there's also, I feel like that's all I've been doing since October. But I do make some podcasts, so teens, if you can't do anything else, make a fucking podcast.
Believe in yourself. Listen to folk music. You can do anything. And I think you, there's always like, I've been writing shit down that I want to get done each day. And sometimes I do them, sometimes I just listen to Hall and Oates, but it's always there, just so I can look at it and be like, one day I'm gonna get a printer.
I mean, I believe in you more than words can possibly express, both in getting a printer and eventually in sort of manifesting further things into the universe. Do you have a library card yet? Do I need to hassle you about getting a library card still?
Yeah.
Library card.
I
Library card.
that's on the list.
Good. Anyway, I feel like it's important that Jonesy, I mean, as much as I also will just like talk about how sad I am because I feel like it's an excuse for how useless I am as a person, that I'm really sad. But Jonesy really successfully, through its writing and through its absolute manic beautiful art, gives us that sweetness and that earnestness and also that like real desire not to be too earnest. That was teenhood, and that also is whatever residual scraps of human soul that we have when we reach adulthood. So, Jonesy, two thumbs way up from me. And
Jonesy inspires people to be their best selves.
I don't know if we can make that claim. It's a big
I
claim.
went hard.
You did. Do you want to back that one up, or do you just want to say it and I'll agree with you on principle?
I'm gonna back it up. And the Jonesy, in a weird way, inspires people through her, like, I don't care what you think. I just want to talk about my secret crush and or get cool hats.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's all you need is like enough, like knowing what you want and just getting it.
Yeah.
Even if you don't have magic powers, everybody can get what they want sometimes.
That's the most heartwarming thing I've ever heard. So you've provided both the most succinct deconstruction of the political process and also the most heartwarming thing I've ever heard within the course of one podcast. Truly, our listeners are blessed that you fucking exist on this earth.
Yeah. You inspire it. It's the back and forth.
The
It's
trades
like,
is a system that works.
yeah, we're stewing a cauldron of knowledge right now.
Yeah, we're stirring the fucking knowledge cauldron for you youths out there.
I will say this about the new Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
It's a little, it seems like it's phoning it in sometimes. Like some of the episodes have been real good, and others of them have just been sort of like, aren't. Isn't it weird how strong these three girls are? There was an episode about it with a bad guy whose name was Man Boy, and the joke was that it was a boy with a beard and a giant wooden robot.
I think I've seen that praised as like Powerpuff Girls takes on men's rights.
I get that, but why didn't they just make it like a dude with a neck beard? Why not just go for it?
I have recently read so many social justice opinion pieces on why we shouldn't make fun of neckbeards anymore. So
Really?
even, yeah. Because it's wrong to make fun of people's bodies, basically.
That's true. Everybody's got their buttons, and it's unfortunate that sometimes cartoons hit those buttons.
Yeah. And certainly cartoons could often do a better job of being aware of what buttons they are callous about.
I'm hoping that they don't. A part of me is wondering if they're gonna bring back him. Because him is sort of like, I don't know if it's offensive or not. I don't know if it's
I'm
a
not
cool villain.
sure what we're talking about, because I only had access to Powerpuff Girls as a child at my grandmother's house, so very sporadically. So I'm not too familiar with the Powerpuff Girls canon.
I know too much.
I think you know just
that dude
enough.
With the crab claws.
Okay, why is he offensive? Because all I know about him as of this writing is dude with crab claws, then.
He's gender fluid. It's a gender fluid character. So it's always like, the question is...
So it's potentially transphobic, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yeah. That's real. That's it's potentially quite bad.
It could blow up real, real, real fast.
I've heard they've already done, an episode that's pretty transphobic. I haven't watched it, because that's, I already have so many TV murders to watch, right?
Are you watching Murder, She Wrote?
I am not. I will. I'll get around to it. I'll get around to it. I tried to, but then it turned out I was watching the wrong thing. Because I thought it was the same thing as Miss Marple. Which it's not, turns out. So, I will, I promise.
I'll get a library card if you watch.
Yo, I will take you up on that instantly. That is, I 110%. I will send you fucking screenshots of me watching it. Cause get a library card.
Yep, that's fair. That's the deal.
Good. I shake on it.
Shakes. Have you ever had the pleasure of reading Luna the Vampire?
I don't think so. It doesn't sound familiar.
It's real. It's sort of like the cutesy. It's kind of like Jonesy, but it's a lot more. It's weird. It's a lot more grotesque in the art, and it's a lot of. It's a lot of like vampire jokes and like.
I do love vampire jokes. I'm looking at the IDW page for it now.
It's by a lady of color, which
That's
is
important.
My jam.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And it's super like, Jonesy is like high school, this is like right after high school, I think. Like, she's got a retail job, and it's a bunch of slice of life comics about a vampire trying to figure it all out.
That's heartwarming. Monsters figuring shit out is super good.
Yeah.
After all, are we not all monstrous, and are we not all trying to figure it out?
I'm most definitely. We are definitely those things.
Yeah.
I'm a monster. For sure.
We're both. I think that pretty much applies to both of us. Even though I've sort of failed in my New Year's resolution to become genuinely enormous and arrogant, I think I got, monstrous and insecure, locked down.
I think you got the monstrous part down. I think you just need to work on the arrogant more.
Yeah, I'm trying. I try so hard.
How many people have you told you're handsome today?
Today? I don't think I've tweeted about it today. Yesterday, I tweeted about it a bunch. And I did that fucking, what celeb do you look like, and it told me fucking Richard Ayoade, so I get pretty arrogant about that. right? That's funny on so many levels.
That's a win.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's extremely goddamn handsome, so the fact that anyone would... any Bing search engine would think that I look 37% like Richard Ayoade is a fucking win for me. I look nothing like Richard Ayoade in any fucking way, but I will take it. So.
I miss that dude.
Yeah. What's he up to? Why isn't he hanging out with us? Why can't he be on our podcast?
Come on our podcast, Richard Ayoade.
Yeah, come on, bruh. It'll be super fun. He reads comics, right? He's got to. He's a nerd.
I'd be surprised. I'd be like, I'd be shocked and hurt, and it wouldn't even affect my life, but I'd be like, you gave false hope, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
Yeah.
Also, Bernie Sanders be on our podcast, and the lady who did Palm Ash, fuck, I can't pronounce her name.
Neither of us can, it's fine. She doesn't know us, she doesn't care.
And Chris, Sam Humphries, get on here and defend yourself.
We're not trying to fight Sam Humphries. I like Sam Humphries. Sam Humphries is a good dude.
Yeah, he's nice. Okay. I'll stop stirring up.
Not that he listens to our podcast, but...
He might.
He doesn't. What Bernie Sanders might, though.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders is trying to get in with the youth vote. We are the youth.
We are. We're both pretty youthful. I keep thinking I'm 26 instead of 24, so I think I'm less youthful than I am. But 26 is still pretty youthful, so youth vote.
I'm 26, and I have officially became useless to society. Now I listen to all of Hall & Oates, and I vote. And man. I've been reading a lot of the Adventure Time comics, honestly.
Yeah, they've been good. I have never really been interested in Adventure Time, so I'm not too familiar.
They're fun to read. They're, like, silly, and, like, they're just, like, episodes of the show. They're silly, they're nonsensical. Some of them are two-parters, but they're very self-contained. The art's good, and they get different artists every few issues, which is cool.
Nice.
If you like fart jokes, you'll probably enjoy it.
So not really for me, but good for someone out there.
Yeah, but I did think I found something that you would like. Grizzly Shark.
I am immediately intrigued.
Grizzly Shark is like a mini series that's just ridiculous.
I'm looking at pictures right now, and I am amazed. Holy shit, I love it. Okay, carry on. Continue talking through it as I sort of gasp.
It's super gruesome, and it's very action movie-esque. It's exactly what it sounds like.
God,
it's
that's my favorite kind of thing. When they're like, here's two gruesome things, and we've put them together, and it's exactly what it says on the fucking tin. That's my favorite thing in the whole world. I think I've seen preview pages from Grizzly Shark before. I don't think I knew that it was, like, an actual published thing.
It's pretty recent. It's, like, only the first one is up. And I know this because I'm a reputable human being and would never...
ever steal.
Ever steal.
Never, ever.
In the first few panels, in the first panel, someone gets bitten in half. And that's pretty much like, that just sets the tone.
Yeah, my heart has gone to heaven, basically. I'm in awe and in love. That's all I've wanted. That's like fucking Deep Blue Sea, but more so, which is possibly the best movie of all time.
LL Cool J.
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah.
So best cool. thing he ever did.
Okay, so Luna the Vampire and Grizzly Shark as the two exciting new intellectual properties hitting the stands.
Hell yeah.
I gotta go put some food in my idiot face, because I texted you as soon as I woke up, so...
Oh, do that.
So I'm gonna do that, but it was super good doing podcasty times, and I will text you soon.
Yeah, please. Enjoy your food and a good podcast.
Yeah. Later, buddy. Bye.